It doesn't sound like it would be possible, baby born after first womb transplant from dead donor, but it really happened in Brazil, and it has huge ramifications. Andrew Shannon is a professor of obstetrics at King's College London. Just give us a thumbnail sketch here, Andrew. What were researchers in Sao Paulo actually able to do?
So they've actually managed to transplant a womb from a woman who is technically dead into a recipient, and that means someone who didn't have her own uterus because of a congenital problem. And the remarkable thing here is that they've successfully implanted a pregnancy which has grown pretty much to full term. Not quite, they delivered early for special reasons, but that baby's normally grown and has done extremely well.
And when you say technically dead, what do you mean?
So in order to get any transplant organ to be in reasonable condition, one has to take it out from a donor when it's still, you know, reasonably well and been well perfused and so on. So often these people who are dead will still have beating hearts. So in this particular case, the woman who died had had a brain hemorrhage, but they were still able to harvest her organs to be able to donate.
I see. Okay, so I was reading that there were 10 previous attempts at this here in the U.S., the Czech Republic, and Turkey. All of them had failed, but now we have the success of a baby born after a womb transplant in Brazil. Does this mean that this procedure is still kind of iffy?
Yes, I think so. There have been successes in live donors, but equally there's been quite a few attempts and, you know, maybe one in four have succeeded. And in this case, about one in 10 has succeeded. I think as the researchers and scientists are learning about how to manage the situation, improve their techniques and manage the pregnancies, it's getting better. But at the moment, it's very much experimental rather than mainstream.
You mentioned the recipient's congenital disorder. How common is it for a woman of childbearing age not to have a uterus?
So that's very rare. So there is a condition where there is a complete absence of the womb, and that occurs in about 1 in 4,000 to 5,000 pregnancies. I think what's more common actually in this situation is women don't have a uterus because they've had it removed for disease purposes and other reasons. And that's probably represents about 1 in 500 cases of infertility. So although this is really important for the women involved, it only is a small component to treating infertility. And even for these women, there have been and still are traditional ways of dealing with this. So things like surrogacy or adoption. And obviously that's a little bit safer for the baby because it doesn't have to be exposed to drugs. But there are certainly some women who would want to have and carry their own pregnancy in this situation and would accept those risks.
Andrew, what are the ramifications of this procedure? Why is this news so important?
It's an additional sort of avenue to take if people are wanting a sort of uterus to have their own pregnancy. It's quite a challenge getting a donor who's live because that's obviously a huge commitment from the individual giving up their uterus, although they can do it when postmenopausal and so on. So often family members, for altruistic reasons, will give that up. But this is a situation whereby there'll be more uteruses available, people who have donor cards and so on, for those that are looking to have this procedure.
Who got permission to harvest the dying woman's uterus? I mean, was that legally complicated?
So there's a big literature and a big setup in most countries with permissions and regulatory authorities for organ donation. So it's now very commonplace to donate hearts, lungs, livers, kidneys, and so on, and even corneal grafts and so on. So a lot of that is transferable to the current situation with the uterus. There are obviously some implications, ethical issues about giving up your uterus rather than another part of your body. In this particular case, the donor had given permission to give up organs, and then the family after death gave explicit permission to use the uterus. So this is another one of the issues that will have to go into the list of permissions when one is considering these things.
I mean, this might sound like a real layperson question, but the woman who is the recipient of this uterus, I mean, this uterus is now part of her body. It's not like a one-time deal, is it?
Well, the thing is, it's actually relatively short-lived. So what tends to happen in the current situation is, and in this particular case, is that the woman has to receive quite a lot of immunosuppression. So there is a sort of conflict between allowing her to heal, whereas at the same time wanting to get on with the pregnancy. So they did this about 7 months later, which wasn't all that long. At the time of delivery, they actually removed the uterus. So it isn't like a heart or a lung. This tends to be just for the purposes of the pregnancy.
That sounds really intense. I mean, yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling.
Yes, I mean, it's a whole new field, and obviously there are not that many cases, and I suspect there's still a steep learning curve for everybody in, you know, what can be achieved and how. But I think because this case has been published, at least people know it's a possibility. I think what is remarkable about this case is how well the baby did, and that the placenta implanted and fed the baby correctly with no ill effects. And I think that is quite an achievement.
Andrew Shannon is a professor of obstetrics at King's College London. Thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure.